This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today I got a question from a speaking event that I did this past weekend. And this question is from a husband, an innocent victim of a husband that has been mistreated by his wife. I'm just kidding. Not at all. The question actually is a pretty typical question that I get from husbands a lot when it has to do with finances and communicating with their wife about finances. So I picked this one because I haven't done a lot of questions in a little while. Actually, I don't think it's been a long while since I talked about something other than kid relationships, that type of things, because according to my experience as a professional therapist and the statistics last time I checked, two of the biggest things that causes divorce and marriage instability, or top three things, are differences of parenting styles with the kids, money, and infidelity. Well, talked about infidelity, talked about kids a lot, but I haven't talked about finances. So this question is for all you parents out there, especially for all you husbands out there that don't seem to have the best conversations when it comes to finances with your wives. So here it goes. Question is, how can I better discuss finances with my wife so we can be united in our approach? Now, I'm going to make some liberties here and assume that the way this question was phrased was very proper and very simple. But if I'm being the devil's advocate, I'm also going to guess they've had some pretty lengthy conversations, maybe some silent treatments, some arguments, and a lot of disconnection about finances. And like I said, it's one of the top three things that causes marital problems. So before I get into telling you guys out there some of my Jedi mind tricks or skills to help you have a better conversation, let's talk about what finances mean and why they can be so problematic, but also why being on the same page with your spouse and finances can be a huge superpower and a huge boost to any relationship. First off, let's start off with talking about what money represents in relationships between human beings, not just spousal relationships. So in psychology, we learn that food represents love. So in any culture, when they do a big gathering and they want to make the gathering special, they're going to have certain foods to commemorate that gathering. I know in the Polynesian culture, there's kalua pig, there's certain items, or not certain items, but there's certain food items that are just traditional and that really show, wow. I know in Latino culture, during Christmas time, making those tamales, well, that takes a long time to make. So it's not like a simple meal. So when people are making those types of food, that is a huge expression of love. And if you've ever gone to a Polynesian gathering or a quinceañera or something like that, you know it's very important to eat the food and to eat lots of the food, and to sometimes even take the food home if you want to show that you accept their love. Same thing goes with shelter or a home, because homes are a representation of safety. Now, the one we're going to talk about today, the finances, aka the money, money is a representation of trust. When you have successful conversations or collective and collaborative conversations about money with your spouse, that means it's going to boost the trust in the relationship. Whenever you have bad conversations, you're not seeing eye to eye, and you have differences on the financials in your relationship, it's going to have the opposite of effect. But it's no different with like a friend. Let's say you loan a friend $1,000, they're in a pinch, like, oh, give me $1,000, man, I'll pay you back on Friday. I just really need this. And you're like, okay, like you kind of take them for their word, and they're obviously stressed out. And, you know, loaning them $1,000 for a couple weeks isn't going to break your bank. So you give them $1,000. Then the time comes up where they're supposed to pay you back, crickets. No information, no reaching out, no one saying, hey, sorry, I haven't gotten back to you. Then another week goes by and you're like, this is starting getting really awkward and uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to cause problems in our friendship, but for them not even acknowledge me, they know I loaned them $1,000. They told me I'm a lifesaver. So for them to just not talk to me about it, it creates a lot of questions, creates a lot of concern, and it can definitely break the trust of that relationship. So let's talk about this guy's question. He says, how can I have better conversations with my wife about finances? Well, I'm going to make the assumption, since you're a man, aka a dude, you're probably going to have some ways that you present the finances that doesn't land well with your wife. Your approach, your body language, your overall attitude may precede your, you know, like your intentions, meaning your attitude, your mood, and your facial expressions and how you approach the conversation or how you've reacted in conversations in the past may not show your intentions of just wanting to have amicable conversation or having a conversation where you meet a meeting of the minds and you figure out a solution to your financial problem. It may come across as if you're frustrated, you don't trust your spouse, and you're not willing to negotiate. You're not willing to see eye to eye. And the reason why I can say this with confidence is because as a marriage and family therapist, I mostly work with kids and their parents or kids by themselves. But every now and then I'll get a parent that comes in and says, hey, since you already know all of our other secrets of our family, and you already know the dynamics of our family, could you help us out with this one thing? And that one thing typically tends to be money. So in talking to guys about how to address conversations with their wives and money, I always suggest a very sincere apology first. Now, when I tell guys that they need to apologize to their wives first, sometimes I get some pushback. Sometimes I hear guys saying, why would I apologize to her? I'm going to give you a scenario. This is not happening with every single couple. And I'm not even sure if this is happening with the person asked the question, but it's pretty typical. So it should land with a lot of people. If I'm talking to a guy and I see that he has a lot of anger and frustration because his wife maybe spends money on things that he does not think they should spend on. And so a lot of husbands will be really critical about their wives spending, specifically if they're the breadwinner. If the husband makes most of the money, sometimes husbands feel like they have the right to be like, hey, why are you spending money on this, not the other? Well, then in these situations, the wives usually have comebacks like this. Well, it was important. The kids needed it. And the husband's like, well, I didn't think it was important. They could have went without it. So the mom sees the needs of the family differently than the husband. And then sometimes some clever moms will snap back and say, well, gosh, you didn't seem to consult with me about the finances before you bought that nice fancy truck. And, you know, the rims and tires that came on the truck were not sufficient for you. You had to get the lift. You had to get the big expensive rims and tires to match the car. And you had all these validations why to spend an extra $25,000 on already $75,000 truck. I'm thinking of one client in specific. You won't know who it is because I haven't seen him in years. My point is, sometimes the wife's got some really good comebacks and the husband's like, well, that's different. It's for work. I had to put my business sign on it, so it's a write-off. I know how taxes work. You don't get to write off $100,000 just like that, just because you spent $100,000 on a truck. So you can see how this back and forth starts to get a little chaotic, can get out of hand, can cause some serious marital problems. So the reason why I say step number one is to apologize, because most people's intentions when they talk, or most men's intentions when they talk to their wives about finances, the intention usually isn't to piss them off, but the result might be you piss your wife off. You may offend your wife, you may insult her in ways, and you just think you're just being honest and direct. So the apology should sound something like this. Hey, I know we got to have a talk about finances, and I know that in the past, I haven't been the easiest person to talk about this. I have been judgmental. I've jumped to conclusions. I've criticized your spending. And if I'm being totally honest, there's a lot of things about my spending you could criticize too. And so I don't want to start off this conversation like that. So I thought, what would be the best way to start off a conversation so it can go well? Well, what better way to start with a sincere apology? So I'm sincerely apologizing to you for not being understanding, not communicating well to you in the past, and also being critical and judgmental. So time out for a second. Whatever the things your wife has told you that you've pissed her off about when it comes to finances, I want you to take that same information, spin it around, and say, hey, you're right. I have failed in this, or I have overstepped my bounds, or I have accused you of things. Now, this, whoever's listening to this, I don't know if you've heard of this thing called the male ego. Well, I'm not going to give you the psychology term of like ego versus superego. I'm just saying the male ego can cause a guy to get up, go to work, and like, I'm going to prove people wrong that I can't make money, I can't be successful. And it can actually sometimes drive a man to the point where he is successful because his pride is at stake and he has an ego and he takes his work seriously. However, that same ego can cause a guy to say some stupid things, to piss off his wife, and make a conversation 10 times harder than it has to be. So to start off with a sincere apology, I'm always debating with my husbands that I talk to about this. I'm like, dude, put your ego aside and realize if you start with an apology, that just went from a 2-hour conversation to a 30-minute conversation. Because most guys complain to me saying, I say this, say that, then she wants to talk about this, then we get off into the weeds and talk about all these other things, and I don't have time to talk about this, or I don't want to talk about it long. I just want her to listen to me and do what I tell her to do. I go, well, that would sound great if she was like your servant or like your employee, but she's your wife, she's your partner. That's not how the conversation should be going anyway. So that's not a realistic expectation. That's like a guy coming home saying, yeah, I work really hard. I put the food on the table and I pay for everything. So when I come home, the house should be clean.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy. And honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kids should never have an attitude, should always agree with me. My wife should be dressed up in lingerie with my favorite meal cooked, ready to give me my meal, feed me like a king, and then be intimate with me and treat me like I'm a superstar. Well, that's not realistic. So let's start with is realistic. If you're having a conversation with your wife, and if the conversations haven't gone well in the past, you should probably start out with saying, hey, I know a big reason why the conversation haven't gone well in the past, and you're looking at the reason. It's called me. Dude, every time I've had husbands talk to their wives like that to start off the conversation, the wives always come back to me and say, I don't know what you told my husband. I don't know what you said. I don't know how you got him to act like that, but thank you. He saw me not getting so pissed off. He could see I'm more reasonable. I wasn't angry. Now, granted, some wives at that moment, it's hard for them not to take a couple shots at their husbands and be like, Well, yeah, man, if you weren't such a jerk and approached me this way all the time, I'd be a lot cooler. For those husbands that have a wife that gives them a little of that sauce back, a little of that hot sauce back, here's my advice to you. Sit there, nod your head and say, yep, that's why I'm apologizing. You're absolutely right. And if she keeps on laying on a little bit more, it's like, well, yeah, you have been rude in the past. Again, I'm not disagreeing with you. However, I do have some, I am a little sensitive to, you know, you saying these things. So even though you're right and I'm agreeing with you, can we kind of move to the solution? Because, you know, my ego can only take, you know, so much of the criticism so much, but you're right. You got it. I'm deserving of it. And not but, it's a key word to say, and I want to make it right by having a different conversation. That's step number one. You say the apology, and then to transition in the next part, you just say a simple word, and. You don't say but, because that could accidentally make your wife think that you're dismissing everything that you've done in the past, and you're just kind of giving like a fake apology. So apologize to her, give some details, give sincerity. Don't be super basic and dry like, hey, sorry for being mean in our last conversation, but you know, I kind of had to be because, you know, you don't take the finances serious enough, so I have to. That's not what I'm talking about. Sincere conversation, details, then say, and that's why I want to start off differently, okay? Once your wife gives you some feedback, let her air out her grievances for a little bit. She takes a couple shots at you. You're a man. Just take it on the chin. Don't be a little baby. Just go, yeah, you're right. I get it. Be agreeable. One of the best things you can do in this situation is be agreeable. So that's step two. First step, apologize. Second step, whatever she says back, be agreeable. Go along with what she's saying. You notice I'm telling you to be agreeable, not telling you that you have to agree. So if she says, I'm being dramatic, obviously. So she says, yeah, you're right. You have been an a-hole. You have been a jerk. You have been unreasonable and you don't ever let me talk. You shut me down. You criticize me. Just sit there and bite your tongue and be like, yep. I totally understand where you're coming from. That's why I started the apology. I knew you felt that way. I didn't know you felt that harsh of a way, but I get it. You're not wrong. I totally get it. And that's why I'm bringing this up. So agreeable, because being agreeable means you're going along with what she's saying. You're not totally agreeing. If you were to totally agree with her, or at least say you agree when you don't agree, it's going to seem very sarcastic or passive aggressive. It would sound something like this. Yeah, you're right. I'm apologizing to you for being a horrible husband and how, you know, everything I do is wrong. And even though I pay for everything and make all the money, I should still be letting you have control of the money. That is not going to be seen as a very sincere apology. You just totally negated everything you said. So step one, apologize. Step two, be agreeable. Doesn't mean you have to agree. Just be agreeable. Go along with it. It softens the blow of the conversation. Now, the third step, I want you to sincerely ask her what her opinion is on whatever the financial situation that you're going to be talking about is. So let's say it's spending money for the kids. Let's say your kids have a lot of sports that they're into. Let's say those sports are not free. Let's say they're traveling sports. Let's say there's competition fees. You got to fly to Vegas or Arizona, whatever it is during the summertime. So instead of going to your spouse, say, okay, let's talk about the money we're spending this summer. I think we should do this because if we don't do this, that'd be stupid and that'd be a horrible waste of money and we can't afford this. That's not really being negotiable. That's not being reasonable. And that's not even offering negotiation. So you should start like this. Hey, in the past, I've kind of taken liberty to kind of lead this conversation. So I know in the past when I've questioned you, it feels like I'm interrogating you. But I sincerely want to know, what are your thoughts about these traveling teams? Because I know I act like you don't care about spending money, but the reality of it is I know you care. I know because I make the majority of the money. There's some insecurities about me judging you, and I get it. I'm sorry. But I really want to know, what do you think is the best approach for this situation? And I'm seriously going to listen to you. I'm not going to interrupt you. I just want to hear you out. Because after hearing you out, it might help me understand my side of the story, because I have some thoughts and feelings about it, but maybe you have some ideas I didn't realize. Maybe your ideas are better than mine. So I sincerely just want to hear you out, and I'm just going to sit here and listen to you. So please tell me what you have to say. If you're scared to say some things to me, I don't blame you. I know I've like I said, I've already admitted for jumping down your throat or kind of controlling the situation. So I'm trying to break those habits. So the best thing you could do for me is to tell me what you're thinking and feeling and give me a chance to show you that I'm not going to try to control the conversation. That, you guys, is so huge. So many wives tell me that they don't feel safe or secure talking about finances with their husbands, specifically if their husbands are the one who makes the most of the money. And I hear husbands say, well, I've never been mean. I've never attacked her. I've never got defensive. And that's true. They don't feel or believe they have. And there's a chance they could have. Okay. It's all their wife's perception. So instead of trying to argue with your wife, whether she's right or wrong, just say, I've obviously made you feel that way. I didn't mean to make you feel that way. So this is an opportunity to make it better. In that third step, when you're just allowing your wife to talk, here's some very important things. Do not roll your eyes. Do not smile and sarcasm. Don't do any of those types of things because those are tells. Like in poker, if you get excited because you get a new hand and you're a novice poker player, you're giving a tell. You're telling your opponent that you got a good hand. I want you to sit there and I want you to look with, like, if you're watching this on YouTube, like look as if you're pondering something. And that means you're going to look down. Looking down shows like you're thinking. Squinting your eyes while you're looking down and nodding your head, looking to down to the left, looking down the right, it's showing that you're trying to navigate the information you're trying to understand. Then when you go to interrupt your wife or to say something, I always, this is step number four, I always want you to lead with a statement. Either tell your wife, wow, honestly, thanks for telling me. I didn't even think about that. Now, you guys got to be creative. You can't be the ape brain, the caveman's like, huh, me no make sense of that. Why'd you say that? Don't ask a stupid question. Be agreeable again. Say, wow, that's interesting. I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Okay, I'm glad I'm changing my attitude towards this whole financial thing. Now, in the back of your brain, guys, you could be like, that's not going to work. That's a stupid idea. It doesn't matter. If you can validate your wife's opinions, and if you can looking for things that she's saying that actually does make sense, then you'll get out of your head that your wife can't make good financial decisions. So it's all about, what do you intend to do? Are you listening to your wife to pick apart what she's saying so you can win the conversation? Or are you listening to your wife so you can understand what she's trying to say so you can better connect with her so you can both win? Or as I like to say, if you got to win, if you always have to be right in the conversation, it's always wrong. Being right in the conversation means you need to win. You're only going to win if your wife feels like she's a part of the solution and not submitting to your solution and your ideas. So that's the fourth step. Those four steps right there, you guys, is going to help you navigate these conversations because money is a very sensitive subject. There's a lot of women out there that are sensitive about their husbands not respecting on how they view the finances. And maybe they've made poor financial decisions, or maybe they haven't made poor financial decisions. Maybe these wives are better at the finances. Maybe the guy's the one that wants to spend and blow a lot of money on stuff that they don't need. Maybe the wife's the one trying to save the mortgage from save the house from being taken away. Cause you know, if you're a husband like me, you're out there trying new businesses and doing different types of things. That's a risky guy to be married to. Sometimes the 9-to-5 guy just gets a steady paycheck. That's the safer guy. But if you're married to an entrepreneur, if you're married to the guy that's willing to put the house, leverage the house just to get into a business deal, it can be scary being married to a guy like that. So I don't want to put people in this. I don't want people listening to this podcast think it's only the traditional controlling guy over finances. It could be the guy's a risk taker and the wife's going, this guy's going to put us into bankruptcy if he just keeps on running with all these financial whims. So those four steps, you guys, you follow those four steps. And at worst, it'll make your conversations half as long and you'll have half the arguments and you'll have less confrontation. At best, it'll create new ideas because connection creates better conversations and it creates better innovations. I mean, you can come up with better ideas how to solve, you can come up with new ideas how to solve old problems. Well, as always, guys, you can follow us on all social media. Just Google, not Google, but just look up on Instagram, OG Therapy, on TikTok, on YouTube, and of course, follow Shy Social Health Initiative. That's the nonprofit that I run. We're posting all stuff about social media, and follow us on Shy because we'll be letting you guys know about what we're doing. We got some cool things coming up in the summertime, some cool events if you live here in the Utah County or the Utah Salt Lake Salt Lake area or the Utah County area. We have some cool events that were coming up this summertime to raise money for the nonprofit. So follow SHI, aka Social Health Initiative, for that information. And until next time, be cool.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them. And guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.